What I like to do is put out a whole bunch of ideas and then shut up for a while. So, and they're just reflections on what works for me. So, go back to that example. I ask you to, you've all found the anomaly now, I hope. Inner circle, 10 o'clock. That's where you'll find the bead, which is different. Frank did that on purpose, like the Persian rug weavers do. They put an air in, because God never, only God makes perfect rugs. So Frank put that in. Anyway, if I ask you to look at that, and look for that, so I ask you, what does that feel like when you look for something, right? And this goes to a question that someone asked just after our last meeting. The meditator is used to focusing on the breath of the nostrils. And she was finding that her, if I have it right, that her attention was becoming very contracted. And that's a kind of a typical problem in meditation where we literally start to look for the breath with our eyes. One of the ways they teach a breath meditation is to focus on the subtle sensation here. And so this person, which is quite typical, started to kind of, you know, squeeze the head and try to find something there. And that's that whole, I think for me, it represents that attitude of trying to find something, hold on to something, control something, see something, right? And so one of the things that's very good as you're learning, as you're meditating, is to be aware of your eyes. Because body awareness is important in meditation, because it's kind of indicative of what's happening in your practice, if you're getting too tense or you're getting too slack. So awareness of the eyes, and awareness of like effort, which is very looking for something. So what I would recommend then is include the eyes in awareness of the body. So if I include my eyes, I'm not looking for something, I see that the eyes have feeling. And if that feeling is too tense in a kind of striving way, oh, I see, I need to relax more, become more receptive. You get the idea? So like body awareness is very important for understanding how you're making effort. So I recommend it to the person to make the attention more broad, to kind of step back, to feel the whole body breathing, something larger. So when I go back to this example, so this morning I said, you know, find the anomaly or find the flaw, and you look for something. So what we're doing is emphasizing an object of awareness, okay? An object in consciousness. But when I say, just listen, and I'm saying, don't choose a sound, doesn't matter what the sounds are, just listen. What I'm trying to emphasize is awareness rather than the object of awareness. Yeah? You see the difference. So the thing about awareness is it's not dependent on a quality. Objects are always qualities, like pain is a quality. Huh? Happiness is a quality, unhappiness is a quality. Big, small, hot, cold, these are qualities. But awareness is not a quality. Awareness knows qualities. And it's in awareness that you find peace. You don't find peace in qualities, because qualities are forever changing, obviously. So when we can learn to be aware of the way things are, that's a step towards peace with the way things are. But if our attitudes are always just trying to focus on objects and get them right, then we're forever frustrated because the objects change and peace slips out of our hands. So awareness of the way things are is not an object. It knows objects. So using sound as a kind of synonym for awareness, the sounds come and go. And then you'll see, like, if you're sitting in this room and then someone starts... if someone's outside and starts talking really loudly and you're trying to meditate, for most people that would be annoying. right? Especially if you think you're getting somewhere in your meditation, you're getting really focused or something like that, then the sound of people talking out there would be annoying. Now, if you practice, oh, annoyance feels this way, you come back to receptive awareness, then annoyance is just another object. But if you're not aware of that, when the annoyance is there and you're not just conscious of annoyance feeling the way it feels, you become annoyed. You put so much emphasis on the sound out there that you start to get uptight and irritated. And then you come and complain to me and tell people to be quiet and so on. See what I mean? So the sound is an object, but the awareness of sound is not an object. Annoyance of the sound is another object. It's an emotional object. Yeah? And that which knows that you feel annoyed is non-annoyance. And that's really important, because there's a lot of language in Buddhism with non-fear, non-greed, non-hatred, non-aversion, non-delusion. You find that a lot. And what does that mean? Well, when there is a knowing of fear as fear, that's that which knows fear is non-fear. You might think that non-fear means that you never feel fear, but then what do? Or that non-doubt feels like you never have doubt. But doubts come and go, fears come and go, angers come and go, like and dislike come and go. But that which knows the coming and going is not coming and going. So awareness is the path to peace, not the conditions. So when you start to play around like that, you just listen. You start to emphasize awareness rather than the objects of awareness. Make sense? Okay, so I mean, that's kind of difficult to do, because your mind just starts to wander off, right? If I say just listen, you might, you know, in 5 minutes you might be in Thailand or planning, whatever. So what we do is we take an object of meditation, not to achieve anything special, more just to sustain this sense of presence and awareness. That's the kind of, I think, the safest way to look at it. I may use that word interestingly, right? The safest way. That you're not trying to get anything. It's non. So one of the words you have is non-becoming. Non-becoming, right? And that's the way I use language in my own practice. I'll set up my practice to say non-becoming. When I use that language, it's like a mirror, and then I see if I'm striving to get something. Non-becoming. And that calms the mind down. Nowhere to go, nothing to become. Now the thing is, this requires a certain amount of energy of consciousness. And one of the great problems that many meditators have is dullness and sleepiness. So this meditation, I'd like to talk about a technique I use for dullness. And one of the meditators came to me and said, yeah, what about dullness? And so I said a couple of things. And one thing is that if you're really, really exhausted, go to sleep, but not here. Go to, you know, get your tent or wherever you're resting and have a really good sleep. Because if you're physically exhausted and you're just kind of bouncing off the floor with your forehead, then it's time, your body just needs sleep. So that's important. And certainly, first few days of a 10-day retreat, people have come from busy, complex situations. You can be very tired. So allow for that. But having said that, there is dullness as a hindrance. And dullness as a hindrance is paired with restlessness as a hindrance. And it's a kind of energy and understanding of consciousness. And dullness is very hard to notice, because it just so envelops the mind that you have no energy to be aware of it. Restlessness is a bit easier to see, because at least you're awake. You may feel terribly kind of revved up, but you're awake. So in this, I realize that these energies or imbalance in energies, they can come in waves. They can come at different times of day. And if I'm not utterly exhausted, then I know that I'm just going to have to bear witness to this dullness coming through, going until the energy finds a balance. So somehow I have to figure out how to be aware of dullness. not so much get rid of it, but be aware of it. And so what I found, if I do a very vigorous breathing practice, if I'm starting to feel dull, let's say, you know, the way I notice it is in my posture. I notice that I start to rest my forearms on my thighs, kind of get comfortable, make a nice tripod. So you don't want to be comfortable. So the principle I use is I try to rev up enough energy, quite vigorously, until there's a kind of strength of consciousness, strength of mind. Having done that, then I let go of the technique, try to set up the posture, and try to be aware of the manifestation of dullness in my body. Because dullness does this, doesn't it? You know, the spine collapses, the head collapses, the hara collapses, the chest collapses. Huh? So if I can get everything kind of upright and erect and energized, and then not just willfully try to get rid of, like I tried that. You try everything, don't you? After 38 years, you try. I tried to be really sort of super military in my practice and kind of fight it, but that didn't work because I was just fighting. It wasn't wisdom. Wisdom is understanding the way things are. So I saw, but I had to put some energy in. So there's a principle I use. I get the energy in there, and then I try to see, okay, what does dullness feel like? And then as it starts to come into the body starts to clap, oh, there it is. Okay, awareness. Awareness. So then awareness is beginning to have strength around the very hindrance of dullness, where it doesn't have strength. And so there it is, and then I can go through it, and then dullness is gone. Okay, that's the principle I use. So, what I'll do is I'll describe a breath meditation around that. And if you find it too vigorous, then don't worry about it, but just keep it in your toolkit of vigorous exercises that you might want to do. But it's really designed for dullness. If you feel already restless, then don't listen to me. You just get too wrapped up. Although it could probably work, actually. No, it would work, I think. Anyway. So let's try that as an exercise. Now stretch your legs a bit, and then we'll sit. Again, begin by listening. And contemplate these words, like receptive. Let the sounds come to you. And then let listening be synonymous with awareness. So awareness which is receptive. Or try non-becoming as a kind of mirror to how you're making effort. Non-becoming. And non-aversion. So trying to set up awareness in this very pure way, very simple way. Then the posture. Try to set up the posture where you can be fairly still and firm for the whole sitting. If you have to move, you move quietly. Something which is quite grounded and solid. In this meditation we kind of combine, it's kind of a pranayama exercise really. So we use the spine and we use breathing. So feel the breathing in the body. Now make the breathing deeper and longer than normal. But try not to breathe so loud that it disturbs your neighbor. So just a good, long, deep breath. Long breath in, long breath out. And just deep breathing, like if your mind starts to wander, you'll find that you start to breathe more shallow. So that's a kind of easy entry into breath meditation, just playing around with your breath. So long breath in, long breath out. Now sustain that, the long breath in, long breath out. Feel the whole in-breath, long breath in, long breath out. Enjoy the breath. Now try to make the in and out equal length. Long breath in, long breath out. Now with the out breath, we'll stretch the spine. First we'll stretch it upwards. Long breath in, long breath out. Feel the upper spine stretching through the neck. Imagine your head is being lifted to the ceiling. Long breath in, long breath out, stretching up. And make this a kind of vigorous yoga stretch, like you're doing an asana. Long breath in, long breath out, stretching upwards. Feel your chest open. Feel the back of the neck. Feel the stretch right through the top of the head like a tree rising. Long breath in, long breath out. Stay with the long breath, stay with the stretch. Now stretch the other way, long breath in, long breath out. Push down, base of your spine, into the ground. Hara goes forward, belly goes forward. Long breath in, long breath out, pushing down into the ground like the roots of a tree, into the ground. Stay with the long breath. Long breath in, long breath out, pushing down. Long breath in, long breath out. Now stretching both ways on the out breath. Long breath in, long breath out. Stretching up and down. Feel the stretch from base to top. Notice how it really straightens your posture. It opens your chest. Now let go of the stretch, stay with the long breath. Long breath in, long breath out, and feel the posture. Now find a way of breathing which is obvious, not too subtle, obvious, that feels okay. So find a way of breathing where you can feel the whole breath. And then stay with a nice tall posture. Now feel the whole in-breath. Feel the whole out-breath. So now, hopefully there's enough energy there. You have a good posture. And the breath is strong. Now if dullness does come, then the breath will become shallow. and the posture will begin to collapse. And when that happens, hopefully there's enough energy now, you'll notice that happening. And as you notice that happening, you re-energize, lift the posture, and then find the balance and let go again. And that's the idea. So now we're just using the breath as a way of staying awake. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. Awake for one in-breath, awake for an out-breath, and the mind wanders off. It's like falling off the bike, and you come to again, as it were, and you awaken, and then a breath in and a breath out. So you don't have to be too passive with the breath. You can play around with it until you become really grounded in the body, and after a while it becomes more subtle. So let's use the breath to calm the mind, to stay present with awareness. So as you're practicing, see if you can remember the space of no thought, because it's quite easy to sort of half notice the breath and half think. But to kind of bring clarity, so you do things like you notice the end of the out breath, really a feeling at the end of the out breath, and that sense of no thought. You're coming back to that listening quality. Or the beginning of the out-breath, the end of the in-breath, that bit of the cycle. What's that like? And then you really listen, notice, go to no thought. So you're totally dedicated just to one breath at a time.